Thank you, Brother Rick. I join Brother Rick and all the saints here at Bellevue in welcoming everyone to Bellevue Gospel Chapel. Cold outside, isn't it? But warm in here, and that's what matters. And warm in our hearts, and that even matters more. So welcome, everyone. We are going to look at God's Word, and before we do, we'll again commit ourselves to the Lord. I'm especially grateful to see our brother Phil's back, and God bless you and brought you back safely. So we're happy to have you back with us. Let us go to prayer again briefly. Our Father, we give thee thanks for the peace which thou hast given to us, that which passeth all understanding. Sometimes we are amazed within our hearts of the goodness that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee for salvation, and we thank thee for the provider of salvation, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come now, our Father, to open thy word, to learn from thy word, we ask thy blessings, and we pray that the Holy Spirit himself will impart to our hearts that which thou would have us to know at this time. Prepare our hearts, we pray, as we give thee thanks. For Christ's sake, amen. Not so long ago, we looked at God's universal call. Those of you who are here will remember that. We looked at the Gospel of Matthew. You don't have to turn right now. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And we recall the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then we look also at Isaiah 45, where we look at the call that the Lord Jesus Christ gave also, saying that he's calling everyone from all the ends of the earth to come to him. They are tired, they need rest, and we expounded on this, that the rest that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about as he called everyone, it is not the physical labor, the labor that he was talking about, it's not the physical labor. It is those who have been searching and searching and searching, and they are so tired, they are mentally exerted, where they become so emotional that they cannot sleep right, they cannot eat right, and they're always worried. And the basic thing that individuals around the world is worried about is, what is going to happen when this life is over for them? They are searching. What is next? And they are searching. And the call was, stop searching. Come to me. I will give you rest. You would not have to worry anymore. You would not have to search anymore. What's going to happen when this life is over? Everyone wants to know that they are going to wind up in a place when this life is over that will be a place of joy. A place that will be better than what they are experiencing here on this earth, regardless of where they live in this world. Everyone wants to know that. Now, those who get confused after all this searching and all this thinking, after a while, they just give up. They throw in the towel and they say, when this life is over, there is nothing after. They throw in the towel. Well, that's a cop-out. And that's the easiest way to deal with problems. Just throw in the towel and say, just forget it. Just forget it. And some people decide, well, in order to really forget it, I'll take my own life. Then I have nothing to worry about. But the Bible teaches contrary to that. That it does not end. The life that we live, the physical life, yes, the physical life will end. An individual may kill us, or we may die in an accident, or we may die in our sleep. Then the physical life ends. But those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, while the physical life ends, and we stop breathing, and we give it up, so to speak, the Bible says that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior
are asleep. Asleep. Why asleep? When the physical life is over, for the Christian, the Bible says they're asleep. Why? Because God has given to the Christian eternal life. And that life will continue on forever. And in a coming day, even those who have died and are buried, the Lord said himself, they shall be awakened out of their sleep. And they shall ascend. They shall ascend. And those of us who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we are told clearly in the Word of God that we are not going to prevent those who are asleep. They are going to rise first. Remember, those who are asleep, those who die knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from the grave, they are going to rise first. And those of us who are alive will rise after them. And together we will join them in the clouds. We shall meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you're going to meet your loved ones in the coming day. And you will meet your loved ones in the presence of the Lord. So today what we would like to concentrate on is once we've come to the Lord and he has given us this rest, we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We are still here in this world. We still have to deal with all the problems of the world. We are in it. We're not out of it. We are in it. We are here in this world. But we still have to deal with all the problems of this world. And if this world has problems, in our lifetime, they have it now. The world has it now. People do not know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And we want to encourage the Christians to keep in mind that our help is in the Lord. That's where our help comes from. Not from man. It's vain for us to put our trust in man. But our help comes from the Lord. Therefore, I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 146. And we'll do some studies in this psalm. Psalm 146, please. And we're going to read the whole psalm. Now, right under the psalms, in your Bible, where it says Psalm 121, in your Bible, you may have a little caption before the words of the psalm. In my Bible, I'll tell you what my caption says, or my heading, if you want to call it this way. It says in my Bible, safety of the godly who put their trust in God's protection. That's what it says. I don't know what yours says right in the top. And then after that, it says, a song of degrees. Let's read the psalm, and then we'll see what the Lord will have us to learn from it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's go back to the first verse. This psalm is characterized here as a song of degrees. Without getting too deep, the previous psalm, which is 120, all the way to 134, these psalms are characterized as psalms of degrees, or songs of ascent. And we'll talk about that. But let's go and read the first verse again. The psalmist is speaking here, and he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. There are many who have studied this psalm, and they have given various translations as to what it means. As you look at it,
The question is, what is the psalmist saying right here in the first verse? Is the psalmist saying that he will look to the hills for help because his help comes from the hills? Is that what the psalmist is saying? You know, sometimes when people want to be alone, when people want to go away and not be disturbed, they will climb a mountain. Call it a hill. And they are able to look over creation, so to speak, and be at peace. So is the psalmist saying, when he needs help, he will look, he will focus on the hills, and depending on what is up there, depending on how high that hill will bring him closer to God? When people want to be above everyone else, and I don't mean it in a bad way, you know, even when you go to a hotel, now the best rooms to stay in a hotel is the higher rooms. Most people wouldn't think that way. They say something is wrong. I want to be on the lower floor. I could run out. But the rooms that are way up in the top are more expensive. You get a better view for one. And in some hotels, after a certain floor, in order to get higher, you have to have a special key for the elevator. Because the elevator is only going so high. And then the floors above, which are much more expensive, you have a key. So when you get into the elevator, you put that key in, and it will take you up to that floor that you want to go, which is above, call it the ordinary floors. So with the mountains here, is the psalmist saying that I'm going to look to the hills for help? Now, there is one thought that... that's what the psalmist was saying, and that's what people did in Bible times. Because the hills were so close to God. So they looked to the hills. The other thought is, it was said in translation times, when they looked at the first verse here, and then when the King James Version was written, later version, I don't think it's in the most modern version of the New Revised King James, the first verse was punctuated differently. It was punctuated, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, comma, from whence cometh my help, question mark. You may not have a question mark in your Bible, or some of you may have a question mark in your Bible. So if we look at it with the question mark, it means when there is a question, it means that it's not answered. So if I ask you a question, I'm really depending on you to give me an answer. So we put a question mark because it's not answered. So when you look at it with a question mark in your Bible, it is the interpretation is that the psalmist knew that his help was not coming from the mountains, not from the hills. The psalmist knew it. Therefore, the psalmist said it in the first verse, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And then he says, what good is it? My help is not coming from the hills. And that's why the question mark is there. If I look to the hills, what good is it? And he put the question mark. Because his help is not coming from the hills. You know, Jeremiah put it in a very clear way. I'll ask you to turn to. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 23. That's Isaiah, and then comes Jeremiah. And you're looking at chapter 3 of Jeremiah, verse 23. And he couldn't put it any clearer than that. And here's what he says. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So Jeremiah is saying, when he says truly in vain, he's saying of a truth, it is a waste of time to be looking to the hills, or praying to the hills, or calling upon the hills for help. Because the help is not coming from the hills. Help is coming from the Lord. Now, if you look at Jerusalem, and you look at the city of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem is about, I think it's about 1,800 feet above sea level. So wherever you are coming from in Israel, you have to climb the hill to get into the city of Jerusalem. Now the temple of Jerusalem, the temple that Solomon built, the temple was in the city of Jerusalem. It's called, built right there, and it's called the Temple Mount. Whenever someone prayed, and you will recall, and if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll recall when the temple was dedicated to the Lord, the glory of the Lord appeared in the temple. So the presence of the Lord was in the temple. And the children of Israel knew that. So in looking to the hills, they basically look into the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was built on the area that is called the Temple Mount, and it's high and elevated, so they're looking up there because that's where the Lord dwelt, in the temple. The presence of the Lord was felt. You will recall, if you go back and read in the Old Testament, the priest couldn't even function on the day of the dedication because of the presence of the Lord. So, because of the fact that wherever people were coming from in Jerusalem, they had to climb up that hill, they had to go up the hill, and they were singing songs as they went up to the hill. So, when the psalmist talks about looking to the hills, he's not talking about looking to the hills, although he says it with the question mark, and I believe it's rightly placed. He's talking about his help is coming from the Lord. If you go back and read some of the other verses here, let's go on and look at it. He answered it in verse 2 himself. He says, and let's go back and read verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And he gives you the answer in verse 2. So you didn't have to go far. He gives you the answer right there. He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The psalmist knew where his help was coming from. The psalmist had experience with the Lord who had helped him. And look at it. He went on to say in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, or he that keepeth thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Which means that the God that the psalmist was praying to, the God that he trusted in, was always alert. One psalmist put it this way, that his ears are always open unto our cry. You remember the prophet when he was dealing with Baal, the prophets of Baal, Elijah, and he was telling them when they were asking God, crying to their own gods, to send down fire to consume the sacrifice. And he was saying, cry louder, cry louder. And he was mimicking them. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's doing this. Maybe his attention is diverted someplace. But the God that we serve, which the psalmist knows, does not slumber. He does not sleep. He is everywhere at the same time. He's all powerful. And he is always attentive to the cry or to the request of his children. He goes on to say in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So the psalmist is saying then that we are to put our entire trust in the Lord. Not the mountains, not anything that we are holding on to believe that these things will give us satisfaction. They will not. But we are to hold on to the Lord, look to the Lord, because our help, regardless of what we stand in need of, regardless of what our problems are, the Lord will see us through. And that's what the psalmist is saying in this psalm. And that's a wonderful lesson for us, particularly at this time of the year. And I'm not necessarily talking about Christmas. The word of God fits in in any season, Christmas or no Christmas. Too bad, not too many, you know, I don't want to say not too many people, but a lot of people don't really know the true meaning of Christmas. But that's not my message today, but you can infer or draw some of these things from it. But I want to go on a little further here. We are told in Psalm 124, it's right next to 121, as you can see, 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Not in the mountains, not in anything else, but our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look at Psalm 146 also and verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Not a hope in man, not a hope in each other, not a hope in anyone else. There are a lot of people who are putting their hope in man. A lot of people who are trusting that whatever the circumstances are, there is one person who can make their circumstance better. May I introduce you to that person? The person who can make your circumstance better, the person who can make my circumstance better, regardless of what it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Barack Obama. He can't do it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world is watching. The whole world is fixated upon the United States of America. The whole world is thinking that the entire world would be better. Not only their words, Barack Obama said that himself. But the only person that can make the world better, the only person who can give us true peace, the only person who can give us lasting peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one the psalmist says he will look to for his help, because his help comes from the Lord. Keep that in mind, because as the days go by and as the years go by, this psalm will take on new meaning for many of us, or maybe for all of us. It's going to ring large into our hearts as the days go by. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, regardless of the good desires that human beings may have, regardless of the good feelings that they have, regardless of the things that they want to do to help human beings, genuine as it may be. Human beings are limited. God is unlimited. And he knows the future. Psalm 46. Well, before you go to Psalm 46, let's go to 46 and then we will move around a little bit. Psalm 46. And you're looking at verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. He is our shelter. He is our strength. Keep that in mind. He is a very present help in trouble. Have you ever been in trouble when there was no one around to help you? Or when there were those around who could have helped you, but they didn't? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt that you are the only one in this world? We live in a world with so many people, and have you been among people and felt lonely? Jesus Christ is your present help in time of trouble. He is my refuge. He is your refuge. He will not leave us, neither will he forsake us. Psalm 31. Let's go backward. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope
in the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't faint. Don't feel so weak and so helpless. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope, not in man, but hope in the Lord. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. He shall strengthen your heart, we read a while ago. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. What did we read in Jeremiah? It is a waste of time to look to the hill for help. Why? Because our help is not coming from the hill. We could translate that, it's a waste of time to look to any human beings for help. Why? Because our help comes from the Lord. The people we look to for help, they have to look to the Lord for help. Unless the Lord helps them, they cannot help themselves, much more to help us. So in the final analysis, everything begins and ends with the Lord. Everything. So it's best to stick with the source in the very beginning and go right through with the source. You know the old saying, every action has a reaction. Well, start with the action with the Lord. And what happens? What is the reaction? He helps us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Anytime we are in trouble, he helps us. That's the reaction or the benefit from that comes from trusting in the Lord. Psalm 55. And verse 22. You have burdens. You have problems. If you do, verse 22 says of Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and what shall happen? And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What comforting words. Cast thy burdens, cast thy problems, cast thy anxiety, cast whatever is bothering you. Cast that upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never, watch the word, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will see us through. Psalm 70. Verse 5. It says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Regardless of one's status in life, regardless of one's social standing, regardless of one's wealth, regardless of one who may consider himself or herself to be nothing, or one who says, I have nothing. The Bible says, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Why? Because thou art my help. What did the psalmist say? My help comes from the Lord. He has made heaven and earth. Remember that. He has made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, the psalmist says. This one is saying, thou art my help and my deliverer. What did we read in Psalm 46 and verse 1? That God is our refuge. He is our shelter. He is our present help in time of trouble. The psalmist knows that here. Because at the end he says, O Lord, make no tarrying. Don't delay, Lord. Help me. I need the help and I need it right now. It takes confidence. It takes trust. To call upon God. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. So even one who is described as being poor needs the Lord.
Even if we describe one as being rich, that person needs the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, please. After Psalms, it's right into Proverbs. Just keep going forward. Chapter 10 of Proverbs and verse 22. We read, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So you ask me, well, I had money in my 401k plan, and it was so much, and I look for it now, and it's half of what I had there a year ago, or almost a year ago. It's half. I have problems. You're not alone. You're not alone. Every individual in this country who had money in a 401k plan will find the same thing. You're not alone. So what are you going to do? You're not alone. So what do? You call upon the name of the Lord. He will help you. He will sustain you through it. You know, the thing that we have to keep in mind, though, and, you know, that's the thing that we don't quite appreciate in this country. This country is definitely blessed of the Lord. There's no question in my mind. But if we continue to shut the Lord out of everything, then there is a price that we are going to pay. A very, very serious price that we are going to pay. And that's bear out in the Bible. It's quite clear. But the point that I want to bring out here is this. That if I just say, and I see the time is moving. But it's important. Because Christian, as a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, we live in the same world. We have the same 401k plan. There's nothing different about it. The stock market goes up, its value goes up. The market goes down, it goes down too. But does that mean we're going to pull ourselves down? I mean, you listen to the same stories that I hear on TV. Okay, people are almost in tears and some people in tears as to what they don't have anything now. Okay, but I could tell you one thing. And I may have said it here. When I started paying attention to what's going on in this country politically, I started paying attention not to Nixon. The only time I started paying attention was when Nixon resigned. I was busy studying, going to school and working and trying my best to serve the Lord. So I wasn't paying attention to that. But it was big news when he resigned, you recall. And then he appointed Gerald Ford to take his place. So we're now in 1974. And 1977, we had major problems. Ford was out. 1976, President Jimmy Carter came in. So now we had major problems. Interest rate was 22%. 22%. What is interest rate now? Last thing I heard, it's, one organization is a little less than 5.5% for a 30-year mortgage. Back then, going into when President Reagan came in 1980, 22% if you wanted to buy a house and get a mortgage. And I'm not going to elaborate. So we're back now, 1977 into the early 1980s. In 1987, the stock market crashed. 10 years later, it crashed. In 1997, it crashed again. They call it Black Friday. 10 years later. And what are we in now? 10 years later, we're in the same problems. And you know what the only difference is? Because back in 1976 and 1979, 1980, the banks were more careful when they were giving mortgages. Think about all the commercials that you heard. And think about how many people were on TV in the late 80s, early 90s, and mid 90s talking about buying a home with no money down. Think about it. And maybe some of you may have gotten involved in it, and some of you may have wanted to get involved in it. No money down. So what happens then? So now the bubble burst because of all the mortgages that they gave to people who had no income or not enough income to bear it out. And that's the only difference now. If not, the economy is much better than it was before. 1982. The unemployment rate was almost as high as it is right now. Almost as high since 1982. Almost as high. This is the first time it has gone above that since 1982. So things was very bad then. Take away the housing problem, General Motors will always have its problems. Okay? But we have problems with that too.
But it's not as bad as people think it is. But it is really bad. It's really bad. Because, but all that I'm saying is, from my little experience, every 10 years, there is a problem in the stock market. And I'm just going back to 1976. Okay? Some people say that since the Great Depression, this is the worst, and you understand why. But let's go on. I'm bringing all this up to say to you, if you trust in the Lord, because He gives us wisdom in what we do. He gives us a lot of wisdom in what we do. And if we trust in the Lord, and we lay hold on the Lord, we will understand that the Bible even says that he that hasteth to be rich will not go unpunished. That's the word of God. He that hasteth to be rich will not go unpunished. The word of God. So the word of God tells us whatever we do, do it in moderation. It's a lot for us if we hold on to the word of God and we try to live as Christians before the Lord. The Lord owns everything. We have to remember that. I'm not going to ask you to turn because time is going. But we are told in Psalm 59 and verse 10 that the cattle on a thousand hill is his. Then we are told in Haggai, we are told in chapter 2 and verse 8, the gold is mine, the Bible says, the silver is mine. The psalmist said in Psalm 121 that he will call upon the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God made heaven and earth. Every livestock, every farm belongs to the Lord. We are using them and we are cultivating them, but God gives it to various ones. The cattle on a thousand hills is his. Every living thing belongs to him. You see commercials now talking about gold. When things are bad with the stock market, buy gold. Big commercial on TV now, buy gold. But the gold belongs to the Lord. You talk about silver. The silver belongs to him. And what did we read before? The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and it adds no sorrow with it. But you know, there's another scripture that says, if riches increase, put not your trust in it. And you know why? The scripture answered itself, just like the psalmist answered his own question, who he's going to trust in. He says, for riches maketh themselves wings, and they fly away as eagles. So, the riches that people were depending upon, the riches that people were trusting in, and they had no time for God, God is bringing back reality to a lot of people. Bringing people back down to earth, so to speak. Bringing reality that our hope is in the Lord, not to the people who devise these various investment portfolios and can tell us and show us that if you were to do this, that will happen. And I'm not saying the advice is bad. I listen to. I'm not saying the advice is bad. But you know what? It's just like a lawyer. You hire a lawyer to represent you. Call the person an attorney if you like that word. It sounds better. You hire them to represent you. They are only representing you. And when they bring information to you, based on what you're doing, you listen to what they have to say. They have gone to school and they have studied, but they're not always right. So you need to have some common sense, even in dealing with this. And then when you're sick and you go to the doctor, is the doctor always right? The doctor is not. I grew up believing that whenever the doctor says to me, this is wrong, take this medication, the doctor is right. But I've seen enough and I've heard enough over the years to know that the doctor is not always right. You have a problem, you go to the doctor and he gives you medication and you say, that's your problem. You take the medication and the medication is not making you any better. Forget about it, it's not whether it's making you worse or not. It's not making you any better. You still go back to the same doctor 4, 5, 6 times. Your condition is not better. No, doctor, is there somebody else that you could refer me to? You don't want to insult the doctor. Or you start talking to friends. Is there somebody you could refer me to? Or you have a dentist. You start asking the dentist, do you know a good doctor? Or you go to the eye specialist. And you say, well, do you know a good doctor? If you don't want to insult the doctor you're with, but you... It's important to start finding out, because sometimes with all the problems that we have and the same doctor is telling us the same thing, we go to another doctor, and as soon as you get it, the doctor says, hey, here's your problem.
Yeah, take this little chart and go home and do 6 exercises. Spend a few minutes every day and the back pain is gone. In the meantime, you spend so much money with a doctor that you had before and you never got better. Okay. All right. Anyway, you got the point. What did the psalmist say? Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Don't forget verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Just keeping that in mind as you go along. Pray to God to give you wisdom in whatever you do. Trust Him. If you haven't been praying to the Lord, those of you who know the Lord as your Savior, before you make decisions, start doing it. Write down Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and read it and practice it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Write it down. Read it every time. Mean it in your heart that God will only give you what is good for you. We want a lot of things, but God will only give what is good. Be ready to accept when God says no. I know you say to me, how do I know when God is saying no? How do I know when God is saying yes? I don't have the time to explain that to you now. But you want to talk to me when I'm finished? I'll be glad to. You want to talk to one of the brothers when they finish? They'd be glad to. The problem is that sometimes when God speaks, we don't want to obey. Because we have our eyes set on certain things, our heart set on certain things, and no matter what, we're going to get that thing. But we only get it to our detriment or to our hurt. So we want to be careful with that. Finally, for those of you who might be here, and you understand what was said, because you should understand a lot of things that I've said. A few things you may not understand, but I've spoken to you about the scripture. I've turned to the scriptures. I've read it with you. I didn't make it up. I read it with you. The things that you may still be wondering about, I say the most important thing that you need to look to the Lord for right now, if you do not know Him as your Savior, is to ask Him to save you. That's the most important thing. Because as I started, I talk about God's universal call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you that rest. Then you can build upon the things that we've just said. So if you'd like to talk to us, you're not saved, and you'd like to know how you can be saved, you'd like to talk to us about that, how you can open your heart and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and save you, so then you can trust His word, and then you could have peace and contentment in this life, regardless of what's going on around. We're not going anywhere. We will talk with you. So don't be in a hurry to rush out. We'll be glad to talk to you. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thou hast revealed so much to us in Thy word. We learn more and more every day that our help is from Thee and Thee only. Thou hast promised to sustain us. Thou hast promised to give us the things that we stand in need of. Help us then to be able to make a difference between the things that we need and the things that we want. Thou art able to do that for us. We pray for the salvation of anyone who might be here who does not know Thee as Savior and Lord. That person, will open up his or her heart to Thee right now, saying, Lord Jesus, I realize that Thou hast died for me. Thou didst go to the cross of Calvary, lay down Thy life, shed Thy blood, so that I might be saved. Come into my heart and save me. And if there is anyone who has said that, Lord, we pray that Thou will give that person the confidence that You've heard and that You will save them even right now. Thank Thee for everyone that's gathered and pray that Thou will dismiss us with Thy blessings resting upon us as we give Thee thanks. Through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen.